It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
My 22. Somehow it seems to always trigger you. I pray to God you think that's odd. 'Cause you say he don't exist, so why are you so pissed? I'm offended. You're offended. Let's all get offended tonight. I'll order us a beer. We can sit down right here and scream and yell and cuss and fuss and fight. I'll order us a beer.
Yeehaw. Yep, I told you. There it is. My levels were off. The microphone. I don't want to call her out, but man, somebody messed with them.
Uh-oh. Yeah, mess with your knobs.
No. Wait a minute. No, it's called the gain on the channel, the overall, you know. Anyway,
it's
welcome
it's
to
Greek
Speak
to
Out.
Me. I don't know how that
Holy
works.
Cow. It's not Greek. It's actually, anyway.
Holmes Law.
Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. I'm Paul LaVoy. Welcome to Speak Out. We're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. And yes, that is the music for and the voice of...
Ron Gould, the only Mojave County supervisor that lives outside of city limits.
I thought it was book related, but
no.
Good job. District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. This was going to be a wild one, even if we don't get phone calls.
I thought my nickname was racist, bigot, homophobe, but apparently...
It is election season.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're not running.
I'm not up for election.
So you don't subscribe to the theory that you're the all-time best supervisor ever for 3.5 years and then the worst supervisor ever for 6 months? That's what the sheriff says.
Yeah, that's how it works out. You're doing a great job except for the 6 months before election
right.
when everybody tells you what a crummy job you're
boom,
doing.
Boom, boom, boom. Left to the jaw. Yeah, exactly. It's called the silly season. It ain't called the silly season for nothing. So.
And they moved it up a month, the primary election also, which
2 weeks,
segues
right?
into
Two,
the Republican picnic.
2 weeks, but they moved, but it is another month
yeah, it's
before.
Up in, yeah, it's up into July.
Do you know why they did that? Do you have a theory?
Well,
at least?
The reason why is that the time frame gets too crunched. Arizona has an extremely late primary, and the general election is set. Everybody has their general election the first Tuesday in November.
Okay.
So the later your primary is, the less time that all the county recorders and the Secretary of State have to get their act together for the general election. So it used to be even later. It used to be like September, the first Tuesday in September.
Is that because I always say Arizona's late to the party as the 48th state? Is that why? I never could figure out why the primary is so late.
Well,
and the primaries are normally, what, May, June?
Yeah, a lot of them are before spring. They're like the first part of spring, really.
Okay.
Out of Texas just had theirs, and this is not even, I guess it's technically spring. But.
You're talking about state primary, not federal and presidential.
Well, the states
primary,
run their own elections.
No,
there is no federal election.
I'm talking about offices.
Sure.
Those offices, that, like the presidential primary, right?
Well, that's a different, and that's still run by the state, but that's the preference election.
Didn't that used to be part of, didn't it all used to be lumped together?
Yeah, they. I guess they decided to have that all in the same day.
Or am I just from a different state?
Once upon a time, the precinct committeeman chose the candidates. I was at the precinct committee meeting last night.
Really?
Yeah, you chose
that
the.
Never worked now.
That's how the party chose their candidates, was the precinct committeeman. They got to choose who ran for county supervisor and who ran for the state legislature. And then you had a state convention where the delegates to the state convention picked the gubernatorial candidate also. And the presidential candidate was picked at the national convention. But then you moved into a primary selection. So you had the voters in the primary now choose the party's candidates.
Were we at the point of the voters choosing the senators like Kelly, Gallego, right? Remember when they were appointed by the states? In
right.
history they were, but
right.
I don't know when that changed. Was Arizona on the back end of that?
Well, Arizona only became a state like 5 years before that.
1914. Or
yeah,
1912.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's all the same thing back
that
then.
Amendment was passed in 1919.
The Wright brothers, you
it was
know.
When they're trying to destroy the Republic by creating a national income tax and the direct election of U.S. senators.
Did you say 1919?
I believe it was about. It was in the teens.
I thought the income tax was during the Civil War.
That was the temporary income tax.
The funny thing about the first income tax.
That was only on the Union, also, if you're.
It was only 300 people. 300
well, yeah,
citizens,
but that's,
and they were landowners.
Yeah, and it's just Hegelian dialectic. Yeah. They create a problem.
A what?
It's Hegelian dialectic,
okay.
Which means you create a problem, and then you write in like the savior to the problem.
It sounded like one of your Ohm's laws or something for electronics.
No, you can look
Hegelian
it up.
Dialectic.
Yeah, it's actually after Hegel, like
oh.
So, a Marxist.
Okay. Let's see.
So they tried to create that. There was no problem with the legislature. The state legislators appointing senators, because then they worked to protect states' rights. But when you directly elected them, now they work for donors.
My theory about the shortened primary season now and them doing it, waiting until now, they could have changed the date a long time ago.
You know, it's crisis management at the legislature.
I get it. It's knee-jerk reaction is what it is.
Well,
for whatever reason.
When I was down there, okay, go ahead.
For whatever reason, they decided we have to move it back. Then we have to move it back again. Well, now we're in the era of Democrats are down, you know, they all march in lockstep. And they won't run against each other in primaries, the incumbent, right? So if there's an incumbent governor, they won't run against
maybe her. Not, but you do see contested primaries.
Okay, well, because I know Gina Swoboda was going to run against Alexander Kaladin for the Secretary of State primary.
Right.
Right? That's two Republicans.
Oh, yeah. We do it all the time. It's an open seat also.
I get that.
That particular example is an open seat.
Okay. Well, there's an example we're going to have on Speak Out.
Actually, it's not an open seat. They're running against Adrian Fontes.
There's an example, and I have to find it on the calendar, but we... We'll have a Democrat on the show in June.
What?
Yeah. Come on, really? It's equal time, Ron.
Somebody's got to stick up for the 18%.
It's equal time. Oh, don't even go there with me. You know better. It's all in the interest of fairness. How can you have? How can
actually,
you want?
You don't have any choice.
How can you want free and fair elections when you don't want the other person on Speak Out?
I'm just mocking you.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm more than happy to, mm-hmm. to debate Democrats. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time.
Anyway, I think...
Some of them are actually members of my own party.
Here it is. Arizona State Treasurer candidate Nick Mansour. All right.
Okay.
He's a Democrat. And Catherine Hammond, I found her name. Yay. She is the Mojave County Democrat Central Committee Chair, District
okay.
3, Vice Chair for District 3. So anyway, he's going to be on the show, but he's running for State Treasurer, the first Democrat in a long time, from what I understand, that's running in a...
He had a candidate last time.
In a primary?
Maybe not in a primary.
But anyway, yeah, he's going to be on, and I don't think he's contested, though.
It's interesting for,
yeah,
for statewide.
It is. But he's the funny thing is, his credentials, he looks like a Republican if you look at him on the surface. He's a business owner.
That's what they try to look like. You got two senators in there now that try to look like Republicans.
He founded a business that's in the Tucson area that I think it's a nursing school, if I remember right.
Okay.
It just, when you talk to him, you would think he's...
So he doesn't have blue hair or what?
Of course, you don't even think Mitt Romney's a Republican, so...
I voted for Mitt.
I did too, but a lot of people didn't.
I voted for John McCain too, but...
Did I ever tell you the story of why he lost Iowa, why he lost, you know, those states that he should have won?
Why?
So I talked to a guy who canvassed the Midwest. He worked for the Romney campaign, and they couldn't believe it either. And they went door to door to all their contacts that they had made. Hey, did you vote? Yeah, we went and voted. Okay, did you vote up and down the ticket? Well, we didn't vote for president because we couldn't vote for Obama, but we couldn't vote for that Mormon guy either.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's, they determined, you know, that it really cost him.
Hmm.
So, anyway, let's talk about books.
Books are great.
The book repository?
No, that
is from Full Metal Jacket.
It's just funny how things evolve. So I think I hit on this a little bit last time when I was on too. But the library, people donate books to the library to get them on the library shelves.
Yes.
So there was a list. I thought it was about $8,000 worth of books.
What?
On the list, it was the donations for about 5 months. And so Valerie, my assistant, is also Minister of Culture. So the Minister of Culture for the District 5 took a look at the books.
You just told me about somebody who's now on the library board.
Right. Well, we'll be if we vote.
Anyway, we'll talk about it. I just connected the dots on that. So
okay.
Let's come back to it.
So
later.
The Minister of Culture was looking at the list of books, and we found some books. It was a Friday afternoon, and she's looking at the list of books, and she sends me this one, and we were both aghast at it. It was essentially a book about...
A non-binary and a transgender.
Yeah.
Right?
And,
yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, just that. And we decided, and it was supposedly geared for 8-year-olds. So the rub is that the library does not do any age verification on who can check out what books. So if you're 11, you can't be in the library unless you're 11 by yourself. So if you're 11, you can check out any book that's in the library. So if we're going to take books that are unacceptable, they're going to get... that children are going to see them because the library does no age verification or rating of the book, whether the book is for adults or for children. So that being said, that the previous meeting, I asked for 30 days to take a look at the rest of the list because we found this late.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a list and we found what ended up being 13 books that we thought were unacceptable for children. And you would think that everybody would want to protect children. And with the things that we found out that the library does not do any restriction of books mm-hmm. for age, also found out that the donors are not, they don't record who donated the books, which to me seems a little suspect. So I put it on the agenda, or actually it came back because we had continued it from the previous meeting. So we had a hearing on it and got to listen to about 2 hours of people's opinions on it. And then in the end it was...
Wait, 2 hours?
Yeah, it was about...
A public...
Yeah.
Was that part of the hearing or the call to the public?
That was part of the hearing.
Holy cow. There's not a way to... Everybody just has to
put their
2 cents in?
Yeah, and that's just...
Even
how
if
we
it's
do
the
it.
Same,
yep.
You know, echo chamber?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Though.
But
wow.
That's... Because it's funny because when Hilde Angus was a supervisor, she would try to get them to consolidate, like choose a spokesman from amongst yourselves, and then everybody would argue about that, and it would take longer to argue about who is going to be the spokesman for the group than it was to just let everybody talk. And it's just it works out better just let everybody say their piece. It's a little different than call to the public, though, because we can actually engage them in debate if we so choose.
I'm trying to remember the name of the group that when Bullhead was going through all these recalls,
mm-hmm.
there was a group of citizens and they had a name for it. It sounds exactly like...
Was it the Jack Hakems?
It was before Jack.
Oh, okay.
Jack kind of stabilized the mayor's office.
Yeah, they had a group called, it was like Citizens for Good Government or something
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it sounded like.
It was something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we took our 2 hours of testimony, and then went roundy round. The books apparently were already on the shelf, which was interesting because we had not yet accepted them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's from something that I changed a couple of months ago, because we had trouble with the Golden Shores Library wanted to decorate for St. Patrick's Day.
When? Before Valentine's Day?
Well, no, it was actually, they're trying to get, they wanted
like
to,
a grocery store.
Yeah, they wanted to donate the material to decorate, and they couldn't accept the donation without going to the Board of Supervisors.
But they do know you, just because you have a donation, you don't have to use it yet.
Well, that's what the statute tells us also, which is interesting because most of the people that were testifying were saying that we had no right to regulate what books go into the public library, which is patently untrue. Statute gives us that authority. The Board of Supervisors sits as the library board also.
Think about this, folks. All right. A lot of the materials that you check out from the library now are electronic, right?
Sure.
Just like any, the old Blockbuster. Blockbuster didn't just have G-rated titles.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and if you go further back than that, when you had the Ma and Pa video stores.
Exactly.
You had the other area.
Mm-hmm.
That
with the
was
beads that like, came
yeah,
down.
Yeah, with the beads or the curtain or whatever, and you might go in there to check out a book. They didn't let kids back in that other area.
And you wore your London Fog jacket.
Because you know what would happen.
Right.
You would, if that guy checked out one of those videos to your kid, you're going to come down and have words with that clerk and that store owner. And I tried to explain that to the board also, because it ended up passing to reject those books. It only was a 3-2 vote. Was that this is no
who,
different?
Okay, let's break that down. Who voted what?
I voted to reject the book. Lettman voted to reject it, and Borelli voted to reject it.
Oh, okay.
Martin and Lingenfelter voted against the rejection.
Okay.
But I'm trying to make that argument because somehow it seemed to get twisted up on some First Amendment issue.
That's an interesting way to conduct the vote, though. The yay or nay?
Yeah. Well, it was the
you're voting yay to reject.
Right. That was
that's interesting.
The motion was to accept the donations, accepting the 13 books. So that was the actual
interesting
motion.
Interesting spin.
So you had three ayes and two nays. It's just because it was a procedural.
I got it.
Because it was the exception of it was the accepting of a donation.
Okay. What grade are you in when you're 11 years old? Would you think fifth?
Yeah.
Okay. So a fourth grader and a fifth grader have the same discernment level for choosing what's appropriate and what's not?
Right.
Really? I wouldn't even sixth grader choose his own book.
No,
I'm not saying you.
Right.
It was a rhetorical question.
Right.
Maybe ninth grade? I mean, you're going into high school, right?
Well, you could break it. And see, that's the rub. We've got another agenda item on the upcoming meeting where we're going to ask the library. We're going to talk about putting some restrictions on the library.
If Dad can hand me the keys to the car, and I'm insured on that car, then you should be able to check out a book. So I'd say 16.
Yeah, but you've got existing limits on things that minors are not allowed to
see.
But
we got to let kids be kids.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of the rub is where do we draw the line on these things, and what rating system do we use? Because they were all talking about the American Library Association.
Did anyone like my idea?
What was your idea?
Warning labels, warning sticker.
Well, somebody's got
to for M for mature.
Yeah, somebody's got to determine the level, and I don't trust the rating system
Google
because
it.
I believe it was Scholastic,
uh-huh.
who's the people that hustle books to school kids through
uh-huh.
the school district.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that book that I talked about was acceptable to 8-year-olds. That's a flawed rating system, my friend.
Well, some think tank came up with that.
Well, no,
we know
it's
that.
The pushing of an agenda
sure
is what it really is.
Absolutely.
And if you look at they all talk about the American Library Association, that's the pushing of an agenda. If you take a look at that, guess who their keynote speaker was going to be at their upcoming convention in June?
Jane Fonda.
Rachel Maddow.
Oh, even worse. Wow. That was a good guess, though.
Yeah. Jane Fonda.
I'm just saying. She's alive. She's doing movies.
I just saw Jane. She's in the urinal at
no,
VFW
stop.
Hall.
Oh, no.
But
we got to take a break now. That was funny, though. Go ahead and finish your
thought. So we've got to come up with some kind of a rating system that's an actual legitimate rating system. I'm not going with the American Library Association because they seem to be pushing an agenda.
They kind of lost some their credibility.
Yeah, definitely.
With that book. And there were 12 others.
Yeah. If we can't trust their rating system, that means we have to come up with our own method of rating things.
Do you have a list of what was under consideration? And, you know, there's 13. Why wasn't it 15? Why wasn't it 25? Do you have that list of what was taken on or off the
list?
Yeah,
let me see if I can
bring
it up.
Let's go to break, and then we'll
talk
about
that. Valerie can probably send that to me.
Of course Valerie can. Valerie, you're smiling, too. I want to play some Jeff Bridges song called Somebody Else.
I just watched True Grit the other night again.
You did?
Yeah, which is a good movie.
The new one.
The new one, as Jeff Bridges is.
Yeah,
Bridges as John Wayne.
Yeah, this is from Crazy Heart.
Rooster Cogburn.
He's phenomenal at Crazy Heart, too. He got the Best Actor Award for it. Not that the Oscars matter on this program, but they matter to me. So, and it was before it went all wacky.
I'm okay with Oscar, Sydney.
Right.
Larry, whoever.
All right. We're going to take a break. And if you want to call in and chime in on this conversation before it's 5 minutes till noon, by the way, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text in your questions at 928-727-5566. Great show this morning, Common Ground. New host, Jim Chaney, did a great job with Melissa. You know, I looked around the table, Ron.
Yes.
And it was Jim, the boomer, right?
Yeah.
Baby boomer.
Oh, okay.
Melissa, Gen X, and Marissa is a Gen Z. You had all point, and then the guest was a Gen Z.
All the living generations.
Yeah, the topic was cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, all right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And again, you are listening to Speak Out, and Ron Gould is on a special hour, and I'm scheduled for Friday, but the city, I was told, everybody who's anybody is in a budget meeting right now for the new budget. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I talked to Dave Diaz last night at the PC meeting. He said they had a work session today.
Oh, the work session's about the Go Lake Havasu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. And again, this is called Somebody Else, and it's live. Jeff Bridges, and he was in the lounge at the Edgewater, by the way, a few years back when that movie, right after that movie finished production. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Colin Farrell joins them. The Irishman, right? Irish actor who's playing a country music singer.
He played...
Who was an understudy under...
Bo Duke, I think, in the Duke's...
He's a heck of an actor. I mean, if I had to pull off an Irish accent...
I didn't... Yeah, I never knew
full that time.
Although half the people in The Walking Dead were English.
It might be a little tough, but they do talk with... they talk like everything's a question. It's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Speak Out also brought to you by Mojave Mortgage, Mojave Electric Cooperative, by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, also by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Longy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane. Check out AB Propane AZ. com. And, man, that's quite a list that you brought up of books.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. What didn't make the list? That's what I want to
There's know. A bunch of other
There's
stuff.
There's 13
we actually
that are
we used
definitely
we
never going to be in a public library in Mojave County ever, right?
No, all this is we rejected these donated books.
Gotcha.
There's copies of these books that are already on the shelf, though.
Wait. So you rejected the donation.
Right.
That
okay,
man.
It's a double it's
oh,
funny.
Oh boy.
It's so there's copies of this book that are already on the shelves.
This is why they call it a bureaucracy,
there is also copies of the donated books that were on the shelf, because they put the books on the shelf instead of coming to the Board of Supervisors for approval of the donation.
So, Rich Lettman, you're telling me, and I know you're listening out there, that you couldn't make a motion that we pull the same titles from the shelf?
We could have, but that was not what it was. The meeting was not agendized.
Kind of being
that.
Facetious, because you could have done it too.
Well, yeah, we could have, but that we would have had to put that on the agenda. This was kind of weird because it was the acceptance of a donation.
Bureaucracy, man.
But that's just how. Well, that's how it works. Had they not, they not had the supervisors approve the donation, we'd have never known that this stuff was going to go on the shelves.
Do you remember Helen Kriegel?
No.
The name of the lady, Common Sense of Federal Government, and that in government in general. She used to have these. I'm Helen Kriegel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that lady. This is an exact example of a Helen Kriegelism right here. If you're going to pull the book, pull the book.
Right.
Well, you're not pulling it, but if you're not going to allow it in as a donation,
right.
Why is it on the shelf?
No, we may go back and go after that, but we need to sort out this giving any book in the library to 11-year-olds. I think that's the bigger problem. Because you need to segregate certain books from youth.
How do we know, or how does the librarian know if they're 11?
Who knows?
Is there a thing like at Disneyland, if you're this tall, you can read this book?
Why would they care?
If you're this tall, you can read this book?
They don't care. Right now, if you're 11, I guess if you've got a library card, they'll check out whatever book that you want to check out.
So,
and that's part of the problem, is they're not taking a look at, are these books appropriate for children?
So if we were doing Common Ground right now, it would be all librarians. We would agree they're liberal?
Yeah.
I was kidding.
Well, I've been through a similar battle when I was in the legislature over putting filters on the computers at the library.
Oh, because you had electronic.
Yeah, you had people looking at child pornography at the library because they don't want to get 100 years in jail.
Right.
Because Arizona runs consecutive sentencing on child pornography.
Oh, sure.
So if we give you 10 counts of 10 years, you're going to be in prison for 100 or 85% of 100 years.
That's not concurrent. It's consecutive, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Concurrent would be the federal model is concurrent. So we could give you 100 years, give you 10 year sentences.
But you'll do 10 years.
Yeah, you'll do 10 years. Mm-hmm. You'll do 100 years if we charge
you. But you come up for parole after 10, you could still do 100 years. You just come up for parole every 10 years.
I think that you come up, your sentence is going to be 85%.
That's what OJ got from Judge Glass,
uh-huh.
in Nevada. He got concurrent. Is that right? Not consecutive, concurrent?
Concurrent runs at the same time.
Okay.
Consecutive. I think I misspoke originally.
He got consecutive.
Uh-huh.
He got, yeah.
That part of that was retaliatory for him dodging the murder charges in California.
They went through these counts for count number one, 8 years, for count number two, 4 years, for count number two, and he's thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a piece of cake. And then she says, I'm going to order those consecutively. And everyone went, it was like someone sucked the oxygen out of the courtroom. Well, it was amazing.
If you're a Gould child and you violate the family rules, mm-hmm. and I give you, you get a day's restriction, and then you violate another family rule and you get another day restriction, you get 2 days of restriction. Those run consecutively, not concurrently.
Is Vinny a constant subject of those rules?
Oh, yeah, he pushes the envelope.
I bet he does. All right, let's see. We have more topics.
Yeah,
and
we had a solar project.
Well, let's stay on the library for a second.
Okay.
Because we have to tie in this minister of content, you said? What was it?
Oh, what did they call her?
I don't know. It was a minister name.
Yeah.
And you have a new member of the Mojave County Library Board.
Yeah, I've got a new every supervisor gets to appoint two members of the library board. And this is, they're supposed to be looking at the stuff that comes to the library. I appointed a guy named Armin Strang from Fort Mojave.
How do you spell that?
S-T-R-N-G-E.
Yeah, Stragi. Stranga.
Okay. He's
in German.
Yeah.
stronger.
Yeah, he's a German guy.
Oh, so boy.
He'll do a good job. He's a little different than the normal people that get appointed to the library board.
Oh, I hope Cheney's listening.
So hopefully that's, he will...
That's gold right there.
Do his job.
A guy on the library board. Yeah, and he's German. That's great.
Yeah.
That's classic.
But we need to, apparently we need a little more intestinal fortitude on the library board.
Something.
Or the library, citizens oversight committee.
So as a resident of Mojave County, and I'm moving in the next 2-3 weeks, I could, any books I don't want, I could just take them over and put them in the book drop?
Yeah.
And donate them?
Yeah.
Huh. I've got some really good rock and roll,
which I thought was interesting. Also.
I don't want to give away my Bob Dylan book.
They may not make it on the shelves. They may end up at the sale.
Ah, oh, right.
They have a
fundraiser.
Yeah, they have a fundraiser.
I got you. And what are they raising money for? The county?
I don't know. They have their own property tax.
Don't they get? Aren't they county employees?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm confused.
I'm not sure. I think it's the Friends of the Library
it
that
is,
raised the money,
but
I'm not sure where they'll...
for?
Good question.
Bulletin boards?
Well, Mr. Armin will let us know what they're doing with the money.
Back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687. We're going to get serious when we come back. We'll talk about solar parking structures,
yay,
right? Yeah, my favorite. And Steve Latosky's favorite.
Yeah.
And we have a new county manager coming in.
We do.
Has he taken a seat yet?
No. He might be running around with... I think next week he's running around with the existing manager.
Have you had the pizza party for the existing manager yet?
Not yet.
Oh, well, we got to plan that.
There you go.
We'll plan it on the air. Back with more in a moment. 928-727-5566 is the number if you want to text us. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We're with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, who lives in Yucca, by the way.
Outside of city limits.
Yes.
I shed one layer of government.
You live in a shed? What?
No, I shed a layer of government.
Back with more. Stay with us.
Church bells ring and strong love grows.
All right, we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springberg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And don't forget to shop local, because small business is kind of a big deal. We have a local business owner on this show right now. Right?
Shocking.
How is business?
That's good.
Yeah? The air conditioning guy. There, yeah. I said it.
It's about
I gave
to get,
you a plug.
It's about to get better by the end of the week.
No, by Tuesday. Have you heard? 105 by Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
108, I think, on Thursday.
It's way too early for
Ooh,
that. Huh?
What's going on with that?
I remember one year it didn't break 100 until June. It was beautiful.
There's a thought that solar panels themselves reflecting into, you know, the reflection of which is part of that cause, and I don't know. I think it's natural.
There's not enough solar panels.
I think it's a natural evolution of
there's
tilt.
There's more asphalt than there is solar panels.
Yeah, I think it's tilt. You know,
no,
the
it's
earth,
just, it's cyclic.
Yes.
You had when... Washington's crossing the Delaware. These guys are freezing to death at Valley Forge. It was one of the coldest winters on record.
And they had socks.
Yeah.
Not boots. Socks.
Right.
Can you imagine? I mean, those guys, talk about sacrifice.
Right.
There must have been frostbite just rampant.
That and smallpox.
Right, right. Well, it didn't help that the apothecaries were going around with a cart full of infected people and picking their scabs and putting them into you.
That was this inoculation program.
I know what it was. It's just, wow. All right, we do have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, gentlemen.
Donna! How are you?
That's me.
Donna never took me up on my offer, by the way.
What was your offer?
I had a George Thorogood ticket. I had an extra ticket to go. And I never heard from Don. I didn't hear. It was Bupkis. Never heard anything.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't know who George Thorogood is. Anyway, go ahead. What was your question, Donna?
By the way, what happened to, is Scott on Common Ground anymore?
Well, this isn't Common Ground, number one, but Scott.
Oh, I know.
Scott felt like, I guess, I don't know, you would have to ask Scott. He's at Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. You could call him.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Okay.
He's okay and everything, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
can I ask about Aunt Betsy? Is Aunt Betsy good?
She's not as good as she used to be.
Well, none of us are.
Well.
What is that? It's a Toby Keith song. But anyway, no, just you know, give her my best, okay?
Thank you.
You're
Have
welcome.
A good day.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye bye. She's always saying hi to me, and Aunt Betsy talks with emojis.
Oh, okay.
I can't figure out what she's trying to say sometimes because I write in. I'm a boomer. I write in complete paragraphs. I send you long texts. You know, I don't abbreviate anything.
You gotta watch the emojis because, like, the finger emojis. They're pretty close together.
You can misinterpret some things.
That's true.
For sure.
That's true.
So what you
think they're giving you the number, you're sending somebody the number one and you're sending them something else.
Then you think you're crossing your fingers.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Solar parking structures. Did we just spend a bunch more money on that stuff?
No, we didn't spend it. Well,
you said write this down and I did.
Well, we wasted some money on staff time. That normally all of a sudden on the agenda was to spend $16 million of our reserve fund installing solar parking structures. Generally, how those things move forward is someone will put an item on the agenda to discuss, is the board interested in looking into that? But apparently an anonymous supervisor requested staff to do that, so staff wasted a bunch of time.
An anonymous supervisor?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure who it was.
Oh, you're just not calling them out?
No,
No one owned it?
No one owned up to
Come
it.
Come on.
But, so you had staff doing a bunch of work on something that, the board turned out the board had no interest in doing. And it also irritated local solar contractors because what they used was called the state contract. So on the state contract, if somebody goes out to bid on something, their project can also become the basis for a state contract, which is that rate.
Sure.
You can use that contractor to do that rate, to do that kind of a project without going out to bid.
Okay.
So we had some solar guys in the audience and they happened to be unlucky enough to be behind the book issue, where they also got to hear 2 hours of testimony on the library book. And so this poor guy waits, and he came up to say, after I pick the thing apart, because I can run a pencil.
You think?
Then the solar contractor came up and said, yeah, Supervisor Gould's right, and this and this and this and this. And how come you guys didn't take any local input, and how come you didn't let locals bid on it? And all the standard complaints on it, but what we did do, we didn't move forward with that. And that was, apparently in the big so-called beautiful bill, there's some kind of a...
One big beautiful bill.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Which is an omnibus bill and...
It is. It's a CR.
Yeah, omnibus bills are bad.
Anyway, go ahead.
Because there's enough for everybody to hate.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently you could get, the federals will pay for half of the solar system, but it still didn't really pencil out even with the feds picking up half of the number. But what brought this back to memory was I just had a letter from a local solar contractor, and she was upset about the process, and I explained to her that I'm upset about it too. But if they're going to take a look at it and come up with some rough numbers. But if we do that, we're going to make sure that we're going to do this at various locations. I doubt it's going to move forward.
I wanted to ask you that because the courthouse in Bullhead was one of those locations before. And they partnered with Mojave Electric with their program. I can't remember the name of the program. It's been a long time. But would that type of partnership apply again to part of these part of this contract?
Well,
depending on what city it is, and if it's supplied by Mojave.
Yeah, Mojave Electric doesn't do net metering, so they don't swap power. If you give them a kilowatt, they don't give you a kilowatt.
They don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unisource does net metering, which makes it a little more attractive.
Right.
It's still a tough sell, but if we. And this was all for, like, shaded parking covers.
Sunwatts. That's what it is.
The one at the Bullhead Courthouse only makes it's never made its rated power.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a 42.5 kV system, kilowatt system. It's done 41 and change 1 month out of the year.
Why is that?
Because the sun doesn't sit
stationary.
Right. Well, they don't. It's not tracking the sun. It's a fixed mount, and it's probably not adjusted for the seasons, you know, because you lay them down or stand them up, because the sun gets higher or lower.
I thought it was stationary.
No, it's not. It's not a tracker.
Oh. Right, right, right.
So you only get the rated output for maybe 2 hours of the day.
I got you.
From like 11:30 to 1:30.
I lost my train of thought because I was thinking of the project manager on that who is no longer with us, which is John Meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, and he had given me numbers on it before, but when this came up, I talked to Butch, the replacement for John.
Okay.
And he got me the numbers, and the thing doesn't make the rated power. So that's the devil's always in the details.
So do we support China or don't support China?
I don't know.
Buy American panels?
Well, even the American, I have American panels, and I've had American panels fail. You know, so
the panel itself?
Yep.
Or the inverter?
The panels.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How does that happen?
They burn up.
Oh, okay. Oh, they do get very hot.
It's a bad connection.
Oh.
And the outfit warranted them, but I had to pay for freight. So freight from
what kind of warranty is that?
Freight from Oregon.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I paid $300 for the panels. How much do you think the freight was from Oregon?
$500.
$300 also.
Oh, it was $300?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just had them throw, and I ended up, all of that first batch failed.
That was without the Iran conflict. I don't call it a war.
Uh-huh.
The Iran invasion conflict.
Trump calls it a war.
That was, yeah, of course. He has a secretary of war, right? Who was the last secretary of war before Pete Hegseth, though?
World War II.
Was it Stanton? Was it secretary of war
secretary,
or defense?
It was secretary of war.
Oh, it was. So
yeah, it was the War Department.
The four-star general. I can't remember his name.
I don't know that it was Eisenhower.
No.
You probably had a politician that was the secretary.
The guy who read the Lincoln letter in Saving Private Ryan. That's what I'm thinking it was.
Okay, but that doesn't
narrow
it down.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but anyway, it was World War II.
I thought it was Stanton from the Lincoln administration. Anyway, what else? We got about 2 minutes.
You compressed the Civil War and World War II into one event there.
So somebody, you know, we talked about this a little bit off the air. Somebody sent me a text on what happened to Scott on Common Ground. And I thought it might, I don't know who generated it. And then I said, ask him. And it says, is it kind of like a Sean Buckley thing? Go Lake Havasu?
Uh-huh.
No, it's not even close. So that's totally different situation, right?
Yep.
Sean was on yesterday's show.
Yeah, people come and people go.
I don't know. Or they're just trying to get me to read their text on the air. Pretty much what it is.
It was a Ron Burgundy moment.
Hey, that's what she calls me. that's Brick, by the way. Brick Tannen?
Tamlin.
The weatherman?
Oh, yeah.
His IQ of 41. Anyway, what does Valerie want you to read on the air?
Oh, well, she sent me the titles of the books, but they're not really not really self-explanatory.
Okay.
No, it is interesting, though, is we may have 16-year-old election clerks.
Is that legal?
Yeah, the legislature. We have a hard time coming up with volunteers to work the poll. So apparently we can use 16-year-olds that are U.S. citizens and
can't register to vote,
but they work as clerks. They can't run the thing, but they can work as clerks. So that'd be interesting.
I'm giving you a hard time.
But so everybody that's an adult and that doesn't volunteer, think about that. We have to use 16-year-olds because people aren't willing to work the poll.
Right. I got you. Isn't that weird when it does that?
Another interesting thing was the FBI came in and got the files from the Arizona Senate audit, 2020 audit of the election.
Yeah.
The
that Adrian Fontes has been fighting.
Yeah, the President Peterson went ahead and gave those over to the FBI. So that's interesting that the FBI is taking a look at their stuff.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
All right. That does it.
It does.
It's now the weekend. I'm kidding. When you're here, I always think it's Friday.
Yeah, I have to talk to Steve whether it's a weekend or not.
So. Yeah. Steve always has a weekend. I didn't say that, did I? Hopefully he's in a lunch meeting or something right now. Or he's in the bowels of the mothership going, how do I fire that guy?
Yeah.
Right? So, all right. I'm going to take a short break and come back with a final shot, let you know who's on tomorrow's show. It's going to be an interesting show, actually. And Ron Gould, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
District 5 County Supervisor and the keeper of all books.
Yeah. Minister of Truth.
The Book Czar.
Minister of Truth.
Or do we call you the Book Chancellor?
There you go.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Have you forgotten? It took all the footage.
And welcome back to Speak Out. You know what? I'm going to go a cappella on this one. Right? Marissa's nodding her head. Yeah, watch this. He's going to fall on his face. Anyway, tomorrow, the Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce, I believe it's going to be Andrea Hellert, and I believe we're going to be talking about an event that's coming up. There you go.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.